It's time to get into the Inside Edge.
Shoot that, he scores!
The latest about the CBJ and the NHL.
Presented by your Greater Columbus Kia dealers and the new 2019 Kia Sorento. Conquer your mountain.
Here's your hosts of the Inside Edge, Bob McGilligan and Jody Shelley.
Welcome to the Inside Edge, presented by Kia on 97.1 The Fan. I'm Bob McGilligan and joined by Jody Shelley. As always, the Blue Jackets are up 2-1 in their best-of-seven second-round playoff series with the Boston Bruins. Blue Jackets got to that point last night by grinding out a 2-1 victory. And, Jody, when I say grind, I mean they ground it all the way down. It took every second of that game for the Blue Jackets to ensure that they got the victory and that they took the lead in the series. It was a fun game to watch. It was a lot more fun when it was over because it was so tight. But everything in the series has been tight to this point.
I mean, and it's to be expected. You're talking about two teams that are matched up evenly. And I still think the Bruins, as a team that finished a regular season with over 100 points in the standings and feeling good about themselves, they were the underdog until Tampa left town by the Blue Jackets. And, you know, the matchup, when you look at Tuukka Rask and Sergei Bobrovsky, they're even. I think Bobrovsky's even got the edge there, of course. He has in this series. But two games that have gone to overtime, one goes to double overtime. Last night's a 2-1 victory at home. These guys are earning it by playing that tight brand, that tight style of hockey. I think the Blue Jackets have more depth. I mean, I'm a little biased, but I think they do. But when I look at the way this is set up for the Blue Jackets, and what I go back to what I just said about Tampa leaving town. Now, Boston, they think that their path to the Stanley Cup Finals is cut and it's clear. But now they're starting to realize. I thought they felt pretty good about themselves yesterday after they lost that overtime to the Blue Jackets and they came back to Columbus 1-1. But I think last night you saw some frustration, and that's a key. When you're playing a team, and remember we talked about, oh, it's too much rest, the 9 days out. No, it's not too much rest when you have a team that's playing with confidence. So we're going to see another tight game tomorrow night at Nationwide Arena. We're going to see the energy and the lift and the boost from the fans. But you're going to also see a different Bruins. Remember how they played in the last 5 minutes of that game? Expect that. Now, I said this in Tampa. I said this against the Lightning when the Blues, every game we said, oh, this is going to be their best game. We even said that in game two and game three and game four. But we never saw it. But
you said it for the 8 days the Blue Jackets didn't play. I think Tampa wants to come back and play their best game today.
Yeah, it's true. But I think that this is a different animal in the Bruins. They understand a little bit more grit. They've got a little more. They can adapt a little better. I don't think Tampa. I think they were stubborn. They weren't going to adapt and change. They wanted to do it their way.
You talk about the depth and going into a playoff series without three of your main defensemen. I didn't think the Blue Jackets could pull that off, quite honestly, when you looked at the guys that were coming in. But all of a sudden, you've got Scott Harrington, Dean Kukin, and now Adam Klendening. They're stalwarts. I mean, listen, Seth Jones and Zach Werenski are still picking up the bulk of the minutes, and David Savard. They're playing more. Those three are playing more than the other three. I get it. But if you're not getting a contribution, a significant one, from any or all three of those guys, you're not leading in any series in the playoffs.
No. And it's definitely, there's been some question marks. Look at the end of the season with Duchesne, Dezingle. What's happening with this team? Where do they fit in? Why is this team not playing as well as they should? Well, okay, Nuutavaara, Murray, and McQuaid out. What's going to happen with this team? Can they handle this? Harrington all season long. It's the perfect way for Scott Harrington to get in the lineup all season and play and find his simple game. He's been awesome. Klendening does everything hard. I love it. And who is Dean Kukin? I'm still saying that. This guy quietly is in the lineup. And, I mean, I say that as a joke because we know who he is now, but quiet, understated. But watch him play the game. Plays well. And credit Yarmo and Billy Zito and John Davidson and all the scouts. They believe and they stick with the players. And credit the coaching staff, too, because, listen, does Dean Kukin pass the eye test? Not right away, but if you stick with him, boy, they did a great job in that one.
Yeah, and I mean, the eye test was weeks and months on end during the season when he didn't get a chance to play, but it's about how you're playing now. I want to focus on Klendening is one guy who, you know, this is a guy, he's up and down American Hockey League, National Hockey League his entire career, hasn't been able to stick anywhere, never played in a Stanley Cup playoff game, and now all of a sudden he is a really important part of what's going on. Him and Harrington, they're the third pair. And when you're playing the Boston Bruins, I don't care – what line they send out there, there's no freebies. If you're that third defensive pair, it's not like, well, their fourth line's weak. We'll try to get them out against them. Their fourth line's really strong.
Now, a couple, I mean, their fourth line is great. They got the veterans out there. Boone Jenner last night, beast.
I'm talking about Boston's fourth line. If you're the third defensive pair, you've got your hands full no matter which line you're playing.
Exactly.
Against.
And I thought a couple times last night, Boston had a couple extended shifts on when Clendenning was out there. But I thought it was just the Blue Jackets weren't making plays. You can't blame clientele. But no, I agree, man. There's no matchup I don't think you fear with those two back there. I think that they've proven enough that they can keep it simple and live to play another shift. That's the key with those guys. Get the puck, make a right play. You never want to be the guy to give a tape-to-tape pass to the opposition in the middle of the zone, and they don't do that.
Absolutely. Well, you know, John Tortorella has his team clicking right now. I read an article earlier this morning saying that the Blue Jackets are a team that can deal with adversity because all they've done is deal with adversity. And Torts has said that. But also in this article, and I can't remember the exact wording, but it talked about John Tortorella likes to create problems where problems don't exist just so his team is never comfortable and knows how to deal with problems. You have told me that a million times since Torts has gotten here. Every time something happens throughout the regular season, you'll be like, okay, here he goes, watch this. But what is the value of those situations at this time of the year?
Well, I think it's a couple fold. I think that it shifts your focus. I mean, there's a lot of times where you're focused on, you know, the dog days and things get monotonous and things get, they test where you're at. And I think John Tortorella does a great job of keeping things interesting. I think he keeps guys on his toes. You always see, or we have the past few years, a young guy coming in and getting inserted in the lineup late in the season and gets to play in the playoffs. Those are all things that keep pushing players. We all have tendencies to get comfortable, and it's the worst thing you can do in sports. And I think that's why you're always seeing the lines moved around. I think that's why he confronts any issue right in head on, because he understands that any bit of dysfunction that creeps into the group is bad for the group. But to keep the people on their toes and guessing is a good way to keep people engaged. And it gets the most out of people. That's his best attribute.
And you talk about the lines, they were different even last night. They were different from game two. I mean, Wennberg comes back into the series in game two, so that changed the lines. Dzingel returns last night, Texier comes out. But it's about putting Atkinson all of a sudden back with Panarin and Dubois, whereas he'd been playing with Duchesne. And now you change up the Duchesne line, and you've got Anderson and Foligno there. So now it's not only just having his team deal with different things, but the Boston Bruins, they've prepared for something totally different. And now they get a different look, and now they've got to adjust to that.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, and I liked it the other game, too, where he put different lines out for warm-up than he started the game with. And that's all just a little, you know, maybe he gets a two-shift advantage with that on the road. But that's what he wants. He wants to get some kind of advantage at all times. And give it to him. He's very experienced. And I think part of experience is understanding or trying to get the other team to react to what you're doing. And stay in the driver's seat, and I think he's done that well.
Yeah, he has done it well, and one thing he is experienced with, another thing I should say, is dealing with the media. It's not his most fun thing in the world, and during the playoffs, he has to do it every single day. And again, earlier today, he was at the podium answering the questions. And by the way, the media crowd gets bigger by the day here, and that's going to continue as long as the Blue Jackets keep on playing. It's going to get bigger and bigger, more questions, some of them even good ones, as a matter of fact. Let's listen in on Blue Jackets head coach John Tortorella from some of the media availability that he had earlier today.
You know, before the first game against Tampa Bay, there was that very public pregame speech that you gave the team that everyone saw. I mean, I wanted to jump through the TV and put the pads on myself and go and play. I'm just wondering, like, I don't pretend to think that it's big part of this, but did it set the tone for all of what's going on?
Well, I think that's what coaches try to do when you start playoffs. I think we're you go through the regular season, I think you're in a constant mode as a coach, setting tones when you think you're losing, setting a standard, whatever it may be, whatever word you want to use. So when we open up the playoffs and, like, you know, I spent 3 days prior to that series, and no one mentioned the word Columbus Blue Jackets to me. All they talked about was Tampa Bay. I mean, I coached Columbus, and all they talked about was Tampa Bay. So I just wanted to let them know how the lay of the land out there was as far as how the team was being perceived. But I'll tell you right now, none of that stuff drives a team. What drives a team is the team. What drives a team is coming back in that first game. And they're the ones that do it, not the coaches. They're the ones that are playing. And that's when you can jump on that and try to gain some momentum off of it. We're very fortunate we did. And I do think there's a collective belief there after we grinded through a first game and get a win. I hate talking about the last series, but to answer your question, they do it. They're the ones that do it. They're the ones that bring that type of camaraderie and collective thought to try to find a way.
And I loved his response saying, I coached the Blue Jackets, and all I heard about for days leading up to that game was about Tampa, not about the Blue Jackets. And we've talked about this before. This is where he is at his best. And as he said, a speech doesn't drive a team. The team drives its team. Yeah, but a speech will get that team out of the dressing room on the right foot, won't it?
Well, you would think so, but they really didn't come out of the dressing room on a really good note.
That's a good point, yeah. So much for my theory. That
no,
sucks.
But no, I like that. You know, it's a moment we'll remember in this playoffs, is the John Tortorella speech. And it's not done. He was kind enough to let the camera in there, and that was authentic. And I think that shows a lot about the person that – I mean, we know Torts as well as we could know him. And he is a special individual. He's a great leader, and I think his greatest attribute is motivating people, especially in the role that they were in. They were the underdogs. They're not even talking about us. Can you believe it? Let's go out there and go right at them. It's amazing to watch what's happened here. There's a bunch of little things if you look back, and that speech is one of them. The way they came out in the second period was one of them. The way Bobrovsky shut it down, the way Foligno scored that first goal. I still can't figure out how Savard did that, the way he shot that puck. But it's been a special, special, special 3 weeks here for the Blue Jackets. They played a lot of good hockey down the stretch, and to see it culminate, really, after the first period in Tampa, it was exactly how it was supposed to go, right? Down 3-0, they were going to just run over the Blue Jackets, and they responded. And I think it has a lot to do. I think your team takes on the personality of your head coach, and I think that that speech showed us exactly what this team is supposed to be, and I think they've lived up to it ever since.
All right, well, as I said, the media throng grows by the day as the Blue Jackets continue through the playoffs, and there's one guy here who is he's a pretty big star at Rogers Sportsnet in Canada. He's on the Hockey Night in Canada crew, and he has been following this series between the Blue Jackets and the Boston Bruins every single game, and we're going to talk to him coming up next. His name is Chris Johnson, and he's got some great insight about this series, about the NHL playoffs, just and baseball, too. He's got it all, and it's all coming up as we continue with the Inside Edge presented by Kia on 97.1 The Fan. Welcome back to the Inside Edge, presented by Kia here on 97.1 The Fan. Earlier today, while the Blue Jackets were practicing, Jody and I had a chance to catch up with Chris Johnson. He works for Rogers Sportsnet in Canada. He's part of the Hockey Night in Canada crew, and he's covering this series between the Blue Jackets and the Boston Bruins. Chris, you have a chance to be in here and cover this series a little bit and get to dig into it and see it. What have your thoughts been so far?
Well, I mean, the first thought is just how awesome the environment was last night. For game three here, you know, obviously a long time coming for some fans who've been with this team through thick and thin and some ups and downs. And, you know, the more I've looked at the Jackets, so obviously I don't follow them closely day to day the way you guys do. I don't really see them as an underdog, honestly. You know, I think part of the way they're portrayed nationally or from afar is because the organization hasn't had a ton of success prior to this. But, you know, when I see them play these games, I mean, they look good. It's not as though they're holding on or finding, you know, Bob's been great, but it's not like he's stealing every win. So, you know, this has been a strange year in the playoffs, and I think the Blue Jackets can make some noise. I really do.
You talk about them just not being an underdog. Like, they're just doing the things a playoff team has to do, right? I mean, they're big. They're using the body. You've got to use it in this series. And blocking shots, yes, Bobrovsky is that final line of defense, but how impressed have you been with the shot blocking so far?
Well, you really showed up again in game three there, and, you know, it's amazing. It's you wish as management, I think, that you could get a team that does this. It just feels as though everything's come together at the right time. The way they finished the regular season, with that stretch to get into the playoffs, sweeping Tampa, great start to this series against Boston. You know, it does seem as though they've just gelled. And you know, Torts himself said he doesn't know if it's chicken and egg. Is the camaraderie there because they've started winning, or is the winning there because of the camaraderie? But you see the sacrifice that's needed for success. And, man, they look good.
Chris, you're in the biggest National Hockey League, probably the biggest hockey market in the world, yeah, in the universe. And you cover the Toronto Maple Leafs for Sportsnet. You do a lot of great stuff. And you watch the Boston Bruins series. And that was set, I don't know if it was set 2 months before the regular season ended, but it was set pretty early with some games left in the regular season. When you saw the Boston Bruins in Toronto and what they did to them, have you seen their best game yet? Have you seen them play that game that everyone talks and feared about, the Bruins?
Not really, you know, and you have to wonder, especially as the series gets deeper, how much playing seven games, playing every other night, jumping straight into this round, that some of that catches up to them. I mean, even as good as these players are, there's only so much gas in the tank at times. And I would say this season especially, I haven't seen the consistency out of Bergeron, Marchand, and Pasternak, who's been up and down from their wing on the right side, the way certainly I did last year in the playoffs. I also covered their two rounds last season. And they've not been nearly as dominant as we've come to expect. And I don't know if they're playing with injuries, if it's something that the Jackets have done specifically to take away some of the offensive looks we expect those guys to produce, or somewhere the truth is in the middle. I mean, as you know, it's hard to get real feelings at this time of year. But I sense some frustration from that group, seeing Marchand take a couple penalties the last few games, two of which the Blue Jackets scored on those power plays. Even Bergeron took a penalty in game three. So, you know, I don't know that we've seen the best of the Bruins, and I don't know if we will, just because they've played a lot of games, they've played a lot of hockey, and the Columbus seems to be in their heads a little bit right now.
Was that first round, was that a tough series, or was that a more skilled series?
There was certainly moments of toughness. I mean, there was a lot of talk going in that the Leafs couldn't play that game, but, you know, honestly, I saw a fair bit of it. There was, you know, it was competitive. It's two teams that first of all, played the year before. They're in the same division. I think that there is a rivalry, as much as we get in today's version of the game, between those teams. And there was some big hits. We saw some stupidity, too. Kadri cross-checked DeBrusk in the head. Torrey Krug left the game after taking a massive check. You know, it wasn't maybe on the level we saw, especially in games one and two of the series, but it's a battle, and it was touch and go. The Bruins were down 1-0, 2-1, and 3-2. So they've been fighting for their lives almost since the playoffs began, and I think that takes a mental toll as well as a physical one.
We're speaking with Chris Johnson of Sportsnet out of Toronto. He's now a Bruins and Blue Jackets insider. I'm wondering, I didn't do a bracket, but what was your bracket? How does it look?
I didn't do a full bracket. They made me do my picks for round one, and I went 1-7, which, I mean, you couldn't even do that almost on purpose. The only one I got right was St. Louis moving on past Winnipeg. That took right to the limit for the Blues to get through. And I didn't have the Blue Jackets playing games right now, I can tell you that much.
You might be winning at 1-7. Hey, Bob?
Well, yeah, you might have one of the better ones in all of the National Hockey League. And Jody and I have talked about this before. They came out with a second-chance bracket pretty darn quick, didn't they?
Well, they had to. I mean, I think, honestly, probably 75% of the people I saw had Tampa at least going to the final. I mean, no one was giving anyone a hope in the East. And after four games against Columbus, now all of a sudden everybody had hope. I mean, even the Leafs and Bruins series was going on at that point. Those guys spoke openly about just removing Tampa from the equation, not meant as a disrespect to the Jackets, but, like, it opened their mind all of a sudden. They didn't have to go through that behemoth. And I do think it's wide open. I mean, we could have a Columbus-Carolina conference final. There's no universe that would have been predicted by anybody. I want to see that bracket. I want to see the timestamp on that, if anyone had that coming into these playoffs.
And I wanted to ask you about that, too, because it is possible. Now, I know in the West the wild card teams are each down a game now, but it is really possible you could get to both conference finals and you could have all four wild card teams that are still in it, good or bad for the NHL.
I think it's good. I mean, how could I come here and talk at the top about seeing how cool it was to see the atmosphere in Columbus last night and then say that it's, you know, that we should only have two or three dominant teams that win? You know, I think it's great to see a fan base come alive. It's great to see fans rewarded. You know, I'm a Toronto Blue Jays fan in baseball and have been since I was a kid. and they won the World Series when I was young in 92, 93. They didn't do anything for 20 years after that. And when they went to the ALCS in 2015 and 2016, it brings you back. And I think it's those things as a fan that you really remember. I mean, going through this kind of run, the ups and downs where you care about every game. And I think it's great for the league to see more fan bases get rewarded for their loyalty, because only one team can win every year. Only 4 to 8 have even what we call a playoff run out of 31 and almost 32 in the league. And so, you know, I think it's nice for the folks down in Carolina. It's great here in Columbus. You know, even Dallas hasn't had a lot of success in recent memory. I mean, this has been a unique playoffs, and I think we're going to see more of it moving forward.
You know, you bring up the Blue Jays. I don't know if Jody's ever told you what a fan he was of Jose Bautista in the bat flips. That was your favorite, wasn't it?
No, that bothered me a little bit. I mean, I liked it for the Blue Jays fans, but I just thought it was just a little too much, Jose, a little too much at that time.
And that's fair. I'll tell you, I was at that game just in the stands, one of my top five best sporting events I've ever been to, and I've covered the Olympics and 12 or 14 Stanley Cups, whatever it's been, but that was an awesome moment to be in the building. So I disagree respectfully.
I still go back to the home run in the World Series. When was that? What year was it? 94?
93, Joe 90, Carter.
Joe Carter. That was, I just remember we lived in this little old house in Yarmouth, Nova Scotia, and I was doing laps around the living room just screaming like everyone else in Canada at the time.
Right. Are you a Jays fan now? Or
I'm not really a baseball fan.
Right.
I tried to be a Reds fan. I used to listen to it on the radio when I mowed the lawn here. You know, then I tried to be a Jays fan. I would say I'm more of a Jays fan because I listen to a lot of Toronto Sports Talk Radio, and I love the way they're...
Oh, bless
no,
you.
No, I really like it. I really,
sucker for punishment.
For being down here, I enjoy it. I mean, it's a... I'm in a neutral standpoint, so I like hearing them talk hockey. They talk hockey all day long.
They're calling me July 10th, August 10th.
It's great for
there's
us
not
down
a
here.
There's not a day that we don't talk hockey on the radio in Toronto.
It's a different insight. And for me, sometimes I get, you know, you get caught up in your market and you listen to the broadcast down here and you hear, you know, certain things are different. But I like to getting back to the Canadian, even the baseball talk. I enjoy those guys. And I was just telling Bob last week, they had an old timer on there. And he was so good at explaining something I knew nothing about. It was something about the pitch count and how you got to get the first strike. And he was picking this young pitcher apart, and I was amazed at it. So I like the sports talk up there.
That's good. Well, you know, I'm hoping to catch a Clippers game if I hang around Columbus enough, because I haven't been to one here. So.
Oh, you haven't?
No, I'm always here in the wintertime.
They're an amazing franchise.
And you know what's great? And the ballpark's right across the street here. I know you've seen, but it's such a social event, right? It's Triple-A baseball. It's good baseball. The Indians are the affiliate, so there's a lot of ties here to the city. But it's a big for the first six innings, it's absolutely great because it's a nighttime social event, and when it gets warmer, it's even better.
Great. And I heard the dollar hot dog guy the other
dollar
night.
Dollar hot dogs.
Oh, dime a dog. You can get
dime a dog.
You get 10 for a dollar, by the way, here.
Wow, that's even good exchange for me because the Canadian dollar isn't too strong right now.
The record is what? Is it 98 hot dogs? You have to check the record.
Maybe I don't know. I know it. I don't have it. That's all I know. I do not have it.
Kevin Dineen's got one for the Montreal press box. I heard it was 24 hot dogs one game there.
Wow.
Yeah. I'll have to confirm that with him. But that's
a
rumor.
Lot of sodium.
That's a rumor going around.
Kind of like a true Canadian, by the way. That's a lot of sodium. You know what an American would say? God dang, that's a lot of hot dogs. We're talking with Chris Johnson of Rogers Sportsnet in Canada about everything in the National Hockey League, and we'll continue to do so right after this as the Inside Edge presented by Kia continues on 97.1 The Fan. Welcome back to the Inside Edge presented by Kia here on 97.1 The Fan. The Blue Jackets are back in action tomorrow night when they play game 4 of their second round playoff series with the Boston Bruins at 7:30 at Nationwide Arena. Our pregame coverage will start at 6:30 tomorrow night. Bob McElligott and Jody Shelley with you. We are joined by Chris Johnson of Rogers Sportsnet in Canada. Jody, it's your turn.
Going back to the hockey, not that we have to, but I just said this came to my mind. I don't have a great memory, but when Carolina won the Cup, and it was Edmonton, Carolina in the finals, I mean, is that similar to this year, or what happened that year?
It's a little bit similar. That was a year coming back from the lockout, the 04-05 lockout, and so it was a bit like the Wild West. I mean, hockey changed dramatically because there was a new standard for refereeing. We saw the most penalties called in that 05-06 season than ever before. There was a more of an emphasis that went towards speed and youth. I mean, really, it's the start of what we see now. Now it's just normal to see guys like Tessier come up and be good. But back then, you didn't see so many young players get that opportunity. And teams were starting new with a salary cap for the first time. So You got Carolina out of nowhere with young Eric Staal, young Cam Ward. You know, Edmonton had a magical run. I think Chris Pronger had a lot to do with that, myself. His one season in Edmonton.
No, he did for sure.
I mean, I thought he could have won a Conn Smythe that year, even in, on a losing team in the cup final. But, you know, it's not the same things that have led to it this year, but I do think that's the start of what we've seen in this era of hockey.
And isn't it amazing? I mean, we had a brief conversation yesterday about it, but does this change things for free agents? Is there a value? We saw last year with your lead, with the not your Leafs, with the Toronto Maple Leafs, they had a couple. Bozak and Van Riemsdyk were not coming back. They didn't move them at the deadline. Teams are getting more comfortable not getting assets for those guys?
Well, it would seem that way to me.
Is it a good play? I mean, it seems to be now.
As a guy who's got to sit on TV, live TV for 8 hours on deadline day, I'm happy.
Oh, forget about you guys
on
deadline day.
I'm happy that Yarmo's getting rewarded and his front office is getting rewarded for, you know, going boldly into this deadline because they could have been conservative. They could have sold their guys for future assets, and there'd be no hockey, right? This building would be sitting empty, maybe with the concrete floor instead of ice, and we would never know that this was possible. So I do think that teams are getting more comfortable with that. I think players now seem to want to go to free agency more. You know, it's obviously the focus here has been on Bobrovsky and Panarin, but, you know, whether it's Tavares last year, I think Erik Karlsson with San Jose this year is likely to just go to July 1st and test for agency. We're seeing now players are wanting to use their leverage and pursue that a little bit more. And so teams are going to have to be comfortable. Otherwise, you're just trading them away and giving up your chance.
I got a question, too, because I hear you guys talk about this a lot in Toronto. The five-year deal for the young player coming out of his entry level. I forget who just signed one.
Auston Matthews.
He signed the five-year.
Yeah.
And that was the first one like it, right? Because before that, McDavid signs the eight-year. And can you explain that to us? What does that do for him?
Well, in simple terms for him, you know, he comes up for his next contract at 26 instead of 29. And, I mean, look, a guy that good's probably hitting a home run at 26 or 29. But if the Leafs stumble here, and look, they've got a really good core of a team, but 5 years is an eternity in pro sports. I think it gives him the ability to test free agency young. And you know, it's not that he's looking for a way out of Toronto per se. I think he's leaving his options open. And, you know, he's still got huge money, $11.6 million, the second highest paid player in the league starting next season. And he got it over 5 years, so he didn't have to commit those extra years to get that kind of money. And you know, we will certainly, I think, see guys like Mitch Marner, who's still up this summer, maybe Patrick Laine go shorter in Winnipeg. I do think that could be a trend because players are taking back some of their rights here. I think that's the end game, and if you're really good, you can kind of do whatever you want in sports. I mean, performance is the loudest thing that you can say.
I think that's – I don't know. I would advise my son to take what's on the table, get more years, you know what I mean? But
well, the flip side is if he blows out his knee –
that's what I mean.
Or something that, you know, prevents him from playing. He doesn't get paid for those
theoretical 3 years. He's on the ski hill or riding a motorcycle.
Yeah, doing something that he's not. Hey, wait, that says in the contract you can't do that stuff.
I know. Parachuting.
Talk with Chris Johnson of Rogers Sportsnet in Canada. All right, let's get back to this series. 2-1, Blue Jackets have the lead. Everything has been so tight, so close. Are they starting to wear down the Boston Bruins? Can the Blue Jackets prevail out of this series?
Well, I certainly think they can. I expect it to be long, though. You know, I'd be surprised if Columbus won the next two games and it's over in five just because of how close it's been. Three overtime periods already, two games that went beyond regulation. But I like the odds of the team that's had that rest. You know, I think it showed up maybe a little negatively early in game one for Columbus, that the long break after they eliminated Tampa. But over time, you know, there's a lot of miles on those Boston players. You know, their best players are old by today's standard. I mean, Patrice Bergeron, David Krejci, Zdeno Chara. These guys are all in their 30s, and in Chara's case, in his 40s. You know, superhuman. But, you know, I think that in Columbus's case, that a lot of the drivers of the team are younger. Even Panarin's younger than those guys I mentioned. But obviously Seth Jones, Werenski. I think a lot of this team's success comes from their back end. And I think they can wear them down, and I wouldn't be surprised to see them win the series. But you know, you need Bob to keep being Bob because Tuukka Rask hasn't been so bad at the other end of the ice. And you just got to keep your nerve because the pressure gets mounted as they get closer and closer to achieving that goal.
Since you are in Toronto and you are the center of the hockey universe and you guys drive all the conversation.
Universe.
Yeah. Drive all the hockey conversation in the world. Let's talk about Seth Jones for a moment here. As you've watched him play now live in these playoffs, is Seth Jones taking a step? I mean, is he showing the hockey world that he's ready to be one of the premier defensemen in the NHL?
Elite guy. You know, I don't even know if he's taken a step. he's going to get more recognition for the step. You guys could probably better speak to where he's gone and when those jumps have come. But when you see him playing 25 minutes in a regulation game, obviously much more than that when the game went into double overtime in game two, and just how he controls the ice, leads the breakout, he finished fourth in Norris Trophy voting last year. So, I do think he's gotten that recognition in some degree league-wide. But, in this playoff setting, that's when reputations are really built and solidified. I think you're going to see him get all kinds of love. If the Blue Jackets keep playing, it's just going to be story after story about what a great player he is. And I think, he's a great guy. He's earned that. He's that good. He came in the league with that hype years ago in Nashville. And here in Columbus, he's gotten the chance to really spread his wings and do it.
Well, Chris, we appreciate you taking some time with us. It's great to see you. Glad you can hang around Columbus.
Yeah,
learn a little bit about
the area.
Big of a hockey market this is turning into with every day that goes by. And I hope you get to that Clippers game, too.
Well, I never knew you even got 60, 70-degree days here because been here in December.
That's right,
This is great to see some nice weather and playoff hockey for fans that deserve it.
Chris Johnson, he's from Sportsnet, Rogers Sportsnet in Canada. He's on the Hockey Night in Canada broadcast. He's all over the place, and he's here with us tonight on the Inside Edge presented by Kia. We'll continue after this on 97.1 The Fan. Welcome back to the Inside Edge presented by Kia. Bob McElligan, Jody Shelley. We are getting ready to close out another show. I can't believe we've done about 104 of these this year.
Well, Bob, in your podcast, you're doing a great job lining up guests, editing, putting in music. Man, you got your own little system going there, huh?
I know. My wife said to me today, I'm getting tired just watching you. But I said, what?
Wait, let's go through it.
What?
You do a daily podcast in the morning from 8 till 9.
Right.
Then you come to the rink and you get some player sound. And then you're on usually NHL Network doing an arena cam sometimes. And then you're doing a pregame show with me and John Luke. And then you're ready for puck. You must look forward to puck drop.
Yeah, it's like getting a rest. It actually is. And nothing's pre-planned. Once the game goes on, all you're doing is calling.
No editing.
By the way, I want to ask you a question. Like, it's different for you. You played, but you're down between the benches and you're there in the heat of the battle. And I'm asking you this because I didn't play like you played. I can't do anything to change the game, and it's maddening in many ways. Last night, I found myself to be, while it was going on in the final 3 minutes, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm watching right at the end. There's like 7 seconds left, and I watched the puck come off the wall, and all I'm thinking about is the Rangers game, right?
I heard you say that in their podcast.
And I said, they're going to get one more chance here. And if the puck would have went in the net, I wouldn't have been surprised. And I was kind of prepared for that. So then to win the game, and it's great. And I get downstairs, and I'm waiting to go in the room and do interviews. And my heart's pounding. I'm like, what is wrong with me?
Bob, this is the great. And we're not complaining about. I'm not giving you sympathy.
No.
But that's what's part of being in this situation for you. Now, the radio interviews, I don't even know the requests you get. I'm getting a bunch. You're getting a bunch. Everyone's getting a lot. It's fun. We are now becoming a market that people know about. Toronto, the people in Canada, they love us because they hate the Bruins. They want to see them fail. So right now they love it. Hopefully it keeps going. I hope you're exhausted in 2 weeks because this thing keeps
six
going.
6 weeks.
I mean, I'm just going baby steps. Let's go two at a time. I hope you're just worn down because the amount of work you're going to get.
Yeah.
Yes. You're excited. There's emotion. The fans. How happy are you for the fans?
Oh, a ton.
Don't worry about anything else. Just look around. Amazing.
How many calls and texts have you gotten from people that you're friends with that don't ever talk to you about the Blue Jackets that all of a sudden want to?
It's crazy. We walk around town. People, usually they're quiet and they say, hey, nice to meet you. Hey, Blue Jackets are awesome. This is so great. Everybody is fired.
I saw Zach Werenski's dad last night after the game. Mm-hmm. And he was just thrilled with the city and how the people are. And he said, my wife and I went to the store. We were going to load up food for the boys because, Zach and his brother live together. He said, so we went to the store and we're walking around the store. We had a Blue Jacket shirt on. He goes, and normally people say nothing. And all these people are going, yeah, Blue Jackets, all right. And he goes, they have no idea who we are. He doesn't know my son plays for the team or anything.
So
they're
great.
Just excited. And, people, and they're from Detroit. I mean, they've seen longtime success in the National Hockey League as fans, and they really appreciate what's happening.
And not only his friends were here, Dylan Larkin.
Yes.
Detroit Red Wing was here as a fan, as his friend last night, which was neat. and people are upset about the Brad Marchand hit. I don't see it as a big deal. The punch to the back of the head. The league didn't either. There's no hand down. I don't like the optics of it. You shouldn't punch someone in the back of the head. But he got away with it. And what I think the outcome of that is, he fooled the refs. Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. He won't get a call in his favor tomorrow night. And he better be on his best behavior. Because if he got called with that, that would have been a bad penalty to take in a critical time of the game.
He's already taken a couple of bad penalties in this series, and both times Blue Jackets have gotten power play goals. So, yeah, I had people saying to me, he should be suspended.
Yeah.
I'm like, hold on. Whoa, 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 whoa. He's got zero goals, and he's taken two bad penalties that led to scores.
Leave him out there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Is that what you think?
I mean, until he does something different, just let it go.
I like that.
All right, let's before we finish here today, I want to ask you about the other series that are going on right now because everything's tight. You've got, St. Louis leads Dallas now 2-1. San Jose leads Colorado 2-1. And you've got the Carolina Hurricanes who are back on the ice tonight up 2-0 against the New York Islanders. Now, a lot of people think the Islanders are going to come back in that series, and maybe they will. But I just know that what I saw in the first round by sitting in my living room and watching TV was that PNC Arena in Carolina looks very, very similar to Nationwide Arena
Curtis
in Columbus.
In net, Mrazek is hurt. I mean, I have no you cannot count Carolina Hurricanes out, but then you look at the New York Islanders, you can't count them.
Yeah,
this has been ridiculous.
But the great thing about, well, not great, but Mrazek got the starting nod to be the goaltender,
yes,
in the playoffs. But he and McElhaney split during the season.
That's what I mean. It's ideal.
It's not like you have a guy that, well, he hasn't played since February.
But that building, Bob, you said it, it is an X factor. It's a complete X factor. So who knows? But don't try to predict it. There might be will there be another bracket if this one doesn't work out?
yeah.
Are they going to do another challenge?
It'll be the championship bracket. Just pick the
Let's
out of
try
the final
one more
four.
Time.
Yeah, final four bracket. And right. Then they'll have, well, we still didn't get it right. Let's get the final two. But actually, the Islanders, I saw a stat yesterday. The Islanders haven't come back from being down 0-2 since 1985.
That was a good year for them, though.
Yeah, and that was a best of five. So just think were then. They were on the verge of elimination. Wow. They had to win three in a row to stay alive.
Look what last year with the Washington Capitals. I think if there's one thing we've learned with playoff experience as fans of this team and the National Hockey League, you never know what's going to happen. Look what San Jose had going on in Game 7. They were down by 3 goals with under 10 minutes left. I mean, you just think of how bizarre and how mind-boggling that is. They get 4 goals and win the game, and Vegas goes home. Under 10 minutes left,
wait,
down
they got,
three.
They got 4 goals, and then they had to go to overtime
that. Yeah. But listen to me. It's unbelievable what's happening in this playoffs. You look at what the Blue Jackets last year with the Capitals. Was it double overtime off the post? I mean, that's how close it is. There was a few crossbars and posts last night. Listen, this series is far from over. We feel good about this right now. But you're right. The whole playoffs is tight. One of the greatest stories. I think there's a ton of great stories. We just talked about two of them in the East, in the Islanders and the Hurricanes. But the St. Louis Blues, to me, is a remarkable, remarkable story. Binnington, a rookie goalie in there doing things what he's doing. That team coming together. I think I think we're on a collision course with them. And that would be great for John Davidson, who's been part of both organizations, along with Jarmo Kekalainen, Basil McRae. But who knows? I mean, we don't know what's going to happen. Take it day by day. I'm sorry to get way too far ahead of myself.
No, you're fine.
But
here's what I can't understand, and I know you're looking at my face, a puzzled look on my face. I cannot wrap my head around this. You mentioned Binnington. And what a great job he's doing there. Is there no one else that could figure out that Jake Allen was a problem in St. Louis? I mean, he just wasn't consistent enough. This is the same thing in Philadelphia with Carter Hart's in the American Hockey League. Ron Hextall gets fired because he won't bring the guy up.
Cost a few people jobs.
Yeah, they finally bring the guy up, and all of a sudden, they didn't make the playoffs, but they were much improved, and they were almost fixed.
Yeah.
They're better going into next year. I just don't understand how – look, sometimes it just doesn't work. You know, Jake Allen was the next up-and-coming guy. When he got the opportunity to take the job, he didn't do it very well. So I don't understand why it takes so long to make changes at that position.
Yeah.
You know, and we're spoiled here, and maybe there's a change next year in that position. But, you know, it is just, look, if you can't get it done, maybe. probably, maybe. But if you can't get it done, I mean, you got it figured out, and Craig Berube looks like a genius.
Yeah.
In fact, he's
a goalie.
I know he's an interim coach, and he's one of the finalists for the Jack Adams Award to be the coach of the year. And if he doesn't get that job on a full-time basis, that's
you know the old saying.
What?
Show me a good goalie, I'll show you a good coach.
Right, absolutely. No
show
doubt about it.
Show me a great goalie, I'll show you a great coach.
Yeah.
It's just, I mean, that's, so they cost a few coaches in St. Louis, too, before they got that goalie.
I just don't understand. If you have a guy in the system, a young guy, I don't understand why it takes so long sometimes. I really don't. No. But again, I'm not a general manager, and I have zero patience.
Maybe you should be.
No, I have zero patience. My team would change every week, and I would be fired, and everyone around me would be fired, and it would not be fun. And then you know what? I'd never get hired again. But the good thing is, with my broadcast experience, I could just get on a show somewhere, and I could talk like I know about everything, and everybody should do it my way, and I could get paid a decent amount of money to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if that's ever been done before, but maybe it's a good idea. All right, game four. This one, it's not a, your back's not against the wall. It's not an elimination game by any means, but it is a game at home. It is a chance to go up two games in the series for the Blue Jackets at Nationwide Arena tomorrow night. How important is it to find a way again and get a 3-1 lead?
Yeah, I really think the first goal is key. I mean, the Blue Jackets play so well defensively. When you don't get the first goal, sometimes you get impatient and you think you got to get it every single shift. I don't see that in the Blue Jackets. It's not imperative, but it'd be good to get the first goal again. Got to win this game. I mean, I say that, but we're going to say that. We could say that another four times here. You know what I mean? Like, this is going to be a long series.
Could
we
say
know
it
that.
10 times, actually.
Well, yeah. I mean, we're going to say
if things go right.
We're going to say it 10 times. So, but this is a pivotal game at home. And, I mean, I thought last night was pivotal. Tonight, tomorrow night, you back it up with another win at home.
Yeah, and it'll be we know the crowd will be great. That's one thing.
Amazing.
That is a zero question mark with that. And so the crowd will be great, and the Blue Jackets hopefully will be great and be able to try to get a real grip on this thing before having to go back to Boston for a game on Saturday night. I'm just really interested to see if and when fatigue becomes a factor for the Boston Bruins.
I think we've seen it from time to time. I'm not sure it's going to creep in tomorrow night, especially if they get that a boost early in the game with a win or with a goal. But it's going to creep in at some point. I think we've seen it from time to time.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll see what happens. Like to thank Chris Johnson for being our guest from Rogers Sportsnet in Canada. And like to thank you for being there as always. Tomorrow night, the game gets underway at 7:30 at Nationwide Arena. Don't forget 7:30 Plaza Party outside the arena tomorrow prior to the game. And if you show up at Nationwide Arena, and we hope you do, go by the Tim Hortons. It's attached to the arena. Buy a Stinger donut every time you do. The Tim Hortons will donate $1 to the Blue Jackets Foundation. So a chance to make a lot of money for the Blue Jackets Foundation just by buying a donut, which you know you want anyway. There'll be screens outside the arena. You can watch the game. You don't even need to have a ticket to do that. And our pregame coverage will begin at 6:30 tomorrow night. Again, the puck drops at 7:30 for game four of this second round best of seven series, Blue Jackets and the Boston Bruins. For Jody Shelley, I'm Bob McElligott saying so long, and thanks for listening to The Inside Edge presented by Kia on 97.1 The Fan.